I'm just reminded, and each week I have out the front that tray. So for those of you who have been coming for a few weeks, remember we talked about all of us can pray. And so I had some cards and some stones so that you can put a stone in your garden or on the mantelpiece or in front of where you do the washing up or something, or you can write names on the card and put that in your Bible. And it was the week that we did what do we do? The lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. And I said there's probably someone in your life who fits the lost coin category who doesn't know they're lost, but they are. Someone who fits the lost sheep who's just wandered away from God in a way, not just purposely, but just nibbling here and gone. And someone who said, I'm out of here. And whoever we are, we can pray. And I just trust that you somehow in your day are praying for three people, one who fits each of those categories, because our hope is that this time next year, some of those people are with us as part of the fellowship. And if we're not prepared to pray, how can we expect God to be doing his part? So if you want to take that, if you lost whatever, or you haven't been part of what's going on, please take that. Now today we're looking at thankfulness, and in the pews there are some guide notes if you want them. If you're a person who normally takes notes or likes notes, but actually there isn't one in front of you, there are a few spares over here, and I don't mind if you want to walk out and take one of those. Please, please do, if that's what you'd like to do. Thankfulness. We've just heard, haven't we, in the last couple of weeks, some very ungrateful tennis players who have come over for the Australian Open, and they're not happy that they've been stuck in isolation. There isn't anywhere to practice or to hit a tennis ball. If you're watching telly, you might see a couple of them sort of, I don't know whether you call it bed surfing, but on the bed and surfing along around their room, and others doing other things. And we've also had a couple of apologies from some of them now, saying, particularly one saying, now I've actually got the virus, I'm sorry that I commented the way that I did. Yes, how thankful are we? How thankful are we? In the Old Testament, they often stopped and looked back and said, thank you, God. And last week we heard from Gary. He took Psalm 22 and it was, where's God? And then I just stop and look back and yes, God is there. So, where is God? We're so thankful, aren't we, for the lifesavers. We're so thankful for the firefighters, for the SES, for the CFS, for all of those people who go out as volunteers and do stuff, and how wonderful that is. And I'm thankful for people in this church who as volunteers do so much, as I said, just behind the scenes, stuff that we don't see. But if it didn't happen, we would be in trouble. So thank you to all of you. I see a lot of goings on sitting in my office and looking out the window. Cars come, people jump out, do things, go back. Thank you to all of you. Right. Today we're going to look at some incidences of thankfulness in Scripture. And I'm going to ask, where do you fit in some of these things? If we lack thankfulness, well, actually we go into spiritual exile. When we forget or when we don't give thanks to God, it's as if we separate ourselves back from him. We need to be very aware of that. Well, the first thing is the story that we had from the lost sheep and the little bit that I added to the children. Luke chapter 17 tells us of the lepers, and I'm sure you've heard this story many times. It would be horrible, wouldn't it? I mean, it's a COVID old story. On the other side of the street, leper, and imagine the isolation. But there was no cure, there was no hope. It's interesting, the leprosy mission still exists today, although leprosy was nearly cured, and then there apparently has been a bit of a resurgence. And in that section of scripture from John 17, Jesus said, was there no one else who came back to say thank you? Was there no one else to come back to say thank you? Your faith, mister, has made you well. Imagine the rejoicing at home. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Imagine. But isn't it horrible? I mean, it was the rules, but isn't it horrible that in that situation, the poor bloke goes to the temple, the religious centre, and asks for some help, and the priest says, nick off. We don't want you in here contaminating the place. How sad. How sad. And yet, if there was no cure, I mean, if someone came in here and said, look, I've got COVID, but I understand this is the place where God is, we'd probably be saying, where's the spray? You know, what can we do? It's a difficult situation. It's a very difficult situation. But the question is, only one gave thanks. And if you read that section of scripture, the Bible says in verse 16, this is Luke chapter 17, verse 16, he was a Samaritan. Now, I've jumped up and down enough about Samaritans, so you tell me, what was the problem with the Samaritans? Pardon? This has gone on for 3 years I've talked about Samaritans. What was the problem with the Samaritans? Who were they? What was the problem? They were ethnically mixed, they weren't pure Jew, and they were contaminated or seen as contaminated, and so Jews wouldn't have anything to do with Samaritans. Isn't this interesting? What? The one contaminated leper happens to be a Samaritan who comes and says, thank you. I guess all the others were Jews who didn't say thank you. But he says thank you. Christian friends, are you a thankful person? Are you a grateful person? Or do you just take from God and that's it? Well, that's the first person. Thanks and praise that man gives. The next person's a bit different. He's found also in Luke, in chapter 8, just back a little bit for those of you who read as we go. But in chapter 8, there's the story of the demon-possessed man. Now, he as well was an outcast in society. Imagine how people treated him. Oh, that nutter, that person, such a misunderstanding of that person. How sad for him and his family. Imagine the stories the locals told about him. I guess he'd never gone to anything like school, so he wasn't teased there. But how sad for a guy like that. And yet, Jesus touches him. And what does he do? Well, he's told, don't tell anyone, but off he goes and tells people, to all the people in the surrounding country. They were suddenly seized with great amazement. How wonderful that this bloke. So I guess we could say, we may have some complaint, we may have some may we might say even emotional, psychological, mental disease that Jesus can heal. But at the same time, the response of this man was a response of going and sharing. So thankfulness requires us, first of all, to praise God, and then to share, to tell what God has done and who God is. Then we have this story that we've known for 1,000 years. And here we have two responses. Yeah, we've got the son. He's the son, the third one in this story. He said, give me my money, I'm off. And he wastes it. And what happens in the end? Back he comes. He comes to his senses. Back he comes. And the story from Jesus basically is there is a confession. A confession. And I think before we can be thankful, we need to confess where we stand before God. But I am not going in, says the other son. I'm not going to be part of that. Look what he has done. Friends, we don't look at other people in the situation. It's our attitude of thankfulness that matters. Other people do what they want and they're responsible. But here we have a classic example of two brothers, angry and refuse to go in, whereas the other one says, yep, I'm responsible. And now I guess he said to his dad, I am so thankful. And maybe he never stopped thanking God. So that was a confession. The fourth person is Zacchaeus. This little man, I guess, was one of those people who was hiding, but his heart was saying, please find me. Please find me. I think there are lots of people in the world like that today. They seem to be hiding, but actually in their heart they're saying, please can't someone find me and befriend me? Is there not someone who could find me and befriend me? And so what does Zacchaeus say? In his thanksgiving, we don't hear that he praises God, but we hear that he says, I will repay, I will restore, I will give back what I've cheated. And isn't that important? That part of our thanksgiving is not just, oh, thank you, God, and jumping around and praising God. But if there is something wrong, that we restore and repay, that's part of our thanksgiving. That's part of our giving back to God in thankfulness. He was the chief tax collector. He didn't need to be healed in his body. He needed to be healed, yes, in his attitude, but in the way he lived. And some of us need to be healed in the way we live, or have been healed in the way we live, and give thanks to God as a result of that. So in the most logical way, he responds. Now, the next person is the woman caught in adultery. So how does she give thanks? Well, it must have been an incredible change in her life. In fact, each of these people have incredible changes in their lives. Incredible. And for her, had a reputation in the community, was well known, I guess, amongst a number of men and also the gossip circle. And Jesus says, you're healed, basically. Go and sin no more. So how does she show her thankfulness? Well, I guess by sinning no more. How do we show our thankfulness? By sinning no more. Now, the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we call God a liar. So God is well aware that we will sin. But in our heart, in our mind, in our attitude, in our desire, it is that we will sin no more. And that shows our thankfulness to God. Thank you for meeting my need and healing me. And I will show my thankfulness by what? By not continuing in that pattern of life. And then the last fellow is the rich young ruler. Now, depending on the translation or depending on the gospel, the Bible says Jesus looked at this young man with love. I think probably a look from Jesus might have been enough, but when that little extra bit's added, with love, imagine this joy. Imagine Jesus, and I'm not pretending to be him, and I'm not standing up here with any sense of power, but imagine you standing and Jesus looking at you with love. Wouldn't that be incredible? Absolutely. Yes, it would. And in a way, that's what the Bible is saying about this bloke, that Jesus met him and looked at him with love. I wonder what he would do. I wonder what we would do. I wonder what we've done, really. How thankful are we that Jesus has looked at each one? We've just shared communion as Brian has led us. We've just said thank you for saving us. And yet, the look of love from Jesus to each one of us. And what did this guy do? He just said, no thanks, I'm out of here. I'm off. The demand is too much. Isn't it sad when Jesus looks at us or looks at any of our friends and we say or they say, no, too difficult, I'm out of here. No, thank you. Now, I hope that isn't the case for anyone here, but yep. Thankfulness is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. I mean, we do things for people. Sometimes they say thank you, sometimes they don't. We've just had Christmas. Did you get a present that you weren't quite so thankful for, that's gone into the box to give to someone else next year, or it's gone down quickly to St. Vinny's? Yes, not everything we are thankful for. Contentment and thankfulness go together. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, it doesn't mean that in the midst of a divorce, oh, yes, I give thanks for this, or some other tragedy. No, it means give thanks because in this situation, God is with us. That's what's important, that God is with us. Not that we're necessarily thankful for the situation, because it might be horrific, but we are thankful that in that situation, God is with us. How wonderful, because he's promised not to leave us nor to forsake us. Everything finds its perspective in God. We need to keep that. Dear old Paul, he'd been through shipwrecks, whippings, jail, everything. How can he write that? I am content. I'm not disturbed or disquieted. How amazing. There is a contentment within, a thankfulness to God. Great gain in contentment. And I love the way that it's been translated by someone else. There is an inward sufficiency, great and abundant gain in contentment. Friends, we of all people, thankful to God, need to be content people. We mightn't have everything we think we want, but I think we've probably got all we need. Maybe we've got more than we need. There is a sense of contentment in our lives which are very important. So, thankfulness is revealed in many ways, and they're the five people that I've looked at. Thanks and praise, telling what God has done, a confession of sin, that's our attitude. We repay or restore, we stop sinning, we obey and follow, unlike the rich young ruler. These are components of thankfulness. Now here, if I don't spill the red dye, here I've got a jar of water. What sort of person are you? Are you the half full or the half empty? Are you the content and the thankful? Or are you the discontent because of what you haven't got and an unthankful, ungrateful person? I hope that we don't have any ungrateful people here, because God has done all for us. Thank God for giving us his son. Is there anything more that we can add to our thankfulness than that? Read some of the stories of people who have had everything taken from them, but they've still got Jesus. Thankful, grateful hearts. So, friends, I hope that we're the half full and so thankful. In fact, with God, if I'd been truthful from God's point of view, I would have just kept pouring water in here because of his abundance, not his meanness. So I want to ask that we be people who are thankful in what I would call an abundant way, abundant in our thanks, and let it be shown in these things, not just waving our hands and singing on Sunday morning. In fact, that can be quite false. But what's real is how our lives measure up in thankfulness to God. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you are abundant, that Jesus didn't half come, that you haven't only given half of your love and forgiveness, but out of the abundance of your riches in Christ Jesus, you give and you give and you give and you give again. And so we thank you today for the example of these people who reflect to us different aspects of thankfulness. And we come and give you our thanks. We give you our praise. We give you our transformed lives. We repay. We follow. We worship. And we thank you through Jesus our Lord. Amen.